Well, good afternoon to you, too.
Well, welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
And what do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, you know, we've got a great sponsor of the show, Team Power. They're the local Kubota tractor dealer up there on Twin View Boulevard.
Gotta love a good Kubota tractor.
Oh, good Kubota tractors. There's lots of them up there just lined up and ready to go.
Put a wood chipper on one of those today, you could make a fortune.
Yeah, just park on a corner with your Kubota tractor, a wood chipper, and a chainsaw. You'd be a rich man by the end of the week.
Exactly. You'd be really popular in about 4 seconds because we lost a zillion trees.
Yeah. So Team Power,
it's an official count,
can fix you up with any of your tractor needs. Right now, they're running service specials out in their service department. You can bring your tractor or lawn equipment in and get it tuned up and ready to go. Also, they have great deals on new and used tractors. Go up and see them. 3119 Twin View Boulevard. Phone number is 226-9226. And you can reach them on the web at We the People Radio? No, you're not going to get them there.
Oh, no, that's not
it. No, it's readingtractors.com.
You actually kind of can reach them on We the People Radio because I have them in the sponsor page.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're listed as a sponsor.
Except for readingtractors.com is, you know, but it's better.
That's their deal, yeah.
More direct.
A lot more information
on that
site.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah. That's right. Cut out the middleman.
Cut out the middleman. Go direct.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. You know, the world has gone hysterical about the national emergency. So we're going to be talking about the hysterical national emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Here in our local area, let's see, today is February 17th, 2019, in case we replay the show and you're going, what is she talking about? So we had a big snowstorm last week. I realize if you live elsewhere, except maybe Boston, because apparently we had more snow than Boston here in Northern California.
Very unusual.
I spent, you know, 11 and a half hours with our good friend Trevor Loudon, a lovely man from New Zealand who was a speaker up north, and tried to get him to his vehicle, but it was a little harder than it seemed. And so after 11 and a half hours in the car, we came skidding into Reading.
Yeah, 11 and a half hours driving on chains and going over the mountain. Yeah, you made it.
It was quite a night.
Yeah.
But if we wouldn't have left when we did, he would probably still be here.
Yeah, it's true.
We had another hostage situation.
Yeah, my wife spent the night with Trevor Loudon.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
In a Ford Fusion. You know, if I was going to snowplow my way down a hill with no one in sight, you know, honest to God, we didn't see a snowplow between Wairika and Lakehead.
Yeah.
There were no snowplows. They were
about 100 miles.
It was, that wasn't the full 100, but we were close. We were actually really close to town when it all kind of went wrong on us.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have the repetitive little naps.
Well, that doesn't count the 40 minutes it took us to get his car out of the snow once he got to town.
Yeah. When I told him, I'm like, oh, by the time you get to Reading, it'll be fine. It'll be no problem. Pretty much I was just a big giant liar.
And as a result of that storm, we have thousands of trees have broken down. The roads are a mess, and the power
outages
are...
Loads of transformers are off the poles.
There's still people out of power and will be out of power.
Thousands of people actually out of power from the looks of the PG&E map, and some Reading Electric Utility folks, you know, power customers still out, so we're sorry if you're still out of power.
And the good news is we're now on FM, 96.5.
We think we are. Are we on FM right now, Ashley?
Yeah, we might be on...
The station is officially on 95 or 96.5, but the tower that projects 96.5 is out of power due to Snowmageddon.
Oh,
so bottom line
gosh.
Is you can't get there from here.
There
so
you go.
We were on for like 5 days, and then we went dark. We should be coming back on in the next couple of days, though.
Right on.
There you go.
So if you always have to listen online, and you do live in Northern California, because you're outside the AM listener range, you can hit us at 96.5 on Sundays between noon and 2, and you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and that's where the archives are stashed, and they are free to listen to. So next week, just a little sneak preview, next week on the 24th, I don't know why I'm doing dates of things. Yeah, 24th, wow. We have Dr. Libby Stout. She is from Colorado. I heard her speak a few weeks ago, and she is a psychiatrist there who works with people who are addicted to drugs. She works a lot on marijuana, a lot on the effects of marijuana on the brain, the massive increases in THC from the marijuana of some people's youth back in the 70s. Wasn't my youth, because I have lousy lungs, so I guess I'm like Bill Clinton. I didn't ever inhale.
I
might have been in the same room, but...
I plead the fifth on that.
Yeah, Bill should just bow out on this one.
Yeah. I didn't inhale either.
Are you a pothead, Fokker? Probably won't be able to use that next week. Might as well get it out of our system now.
Yeah, I got a lot of it.
So our hostage this show is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. I just want you to know, despite what he tells you, I got a hold of him on Thursday. He did have extensive plans to clean his garage and wash his windows, which I'm assuming he's already done. Or his wife's out there doing that right now.
You can thank us later.
He's pressed her into servitude because he's got a big shoe to do.
The really big shoe.
Really big shoe. Oh, my gosh. So, lest we malign Dr. Lyle Rapacki, we've done a bunch of shows, so we get a little cavalier, how's that, with the bio. But he actually is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. We just hope he's not doing a lot of behavioral analysis on this, either that or he's, or that we're all part of a research experiment, which would just be super fun. Since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security. There we go. That's the nexus to real life, border security.
I heard he was writing a book. His next book was going to be We the People Radio and Me.
And with a little subtitle about, you know, how I talked about border security endlessly with these two knuckleheads. So now he's in Texas. So we found you a fun Texas song. Got to switch my music around. But he analyzes and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement and government and, you know, knuckleheads like us. So I've got some of your stuff posted. I've got the 31 national emergencies. Those are listed on the webpage for anybody who's curious, because they're rattling on about that on, you know, everywhere. Maybe not MSNBC, but there have actually been previous national emergencies, and those are listed in detail at wethepeopleradio.us, so you can go fan through those. Also, there is an interesting thing from the Center for a Secure Free Society, all about the Central American caravans. I got that, and I've got that on there from Dr. Rapacki. So, okay, much past that, it's all you. Yeah. It's all you, window man.
Can I respond now?
Can I talk? Yeah. Wasn't he in Texas?
So Bill, let me just share that she did call. Aaron did phone on Thursday. That part's true. But midnight is, I don't think, a really appropriate time. And what I heard, and it could have been wrong because of all the snow and the interference. It's possible.
And the hysteria.
But what I heard was, are you doing anything Sunday because our premier guest couldn't make it? And I said, oh, how sad. Yes, Aaron says, it's really sad. He's a silkworm farm person, and his silkworms got all tied up, and he has to untie them, so we don't have anyone for Sunday. So what are you doing?
You know, it's interesting how art imitates reality, because I will say, one of the problems on my Nanook of the North trek that when I was playing Ice Road Truckers. So here's a guy in an 18-wheeler who blows by me doing 70 miles an hour. At the time, we both looked at each other and were like, oh, well, that's not going to end, you know, happily. So imagine that. The guy jackknifed because he was speeding and had no chains on, and it was really, I mean, it was like a blizzard, so it was not good. It wasn't just, you know, 3/4 of an inch of California snow. It was bad. So, anywho, after we got done with that, that guy's jackknifed in the road, and then some other idiot with a trailer who's a beekeeper.
You're so harsh.
You beekeeper man. We saw you go by. He like goes around everyone because he's smarter than everybody else. We're just stopped for the hell of it. And he blows by. Uh-oh, he can't pass either. So his beekeeping equipment winds up sliding backwards. He's jackknifed, and he's under the 18-wheeler. So, you know, we could have used a silkworm guy. You know, he could have gotten stuck under the beekeeper.
Wow. Yeah, well, I don't think we should make much fun. I did get a picture, I think, Saturday of your storm. Somebody just happened to send a picture saying, hey, have you seen what's going on? And I guess it's really, really bad.
No, it was really bad.
Yeah,
it's not that often when you're driving down a three-lane highway. Literally, we saw 12 cars in like 80 miles. It was just us.
Yeah.
So we're driving along because they had the highway shut above us, and we were smarter than that, so we came in below the shutdown. Got on the highway, going down there. The closer we got to Reading, the more trees had fallen across I-5, and there was one. We had to drive across the top of the tree because there was no other room on the road. It had crashed across all three lanes. So there was some destruction.
Well, and you were with my little Kiwi buddy, Trevor.
Who was, Trevor, by the way, Trevor was wearing a suit coat and shoes, like hard shoes.
Yeah,
he didn't even have a windbreaker. So
well,
me, Trevor, with the parka, the gloves, and the snow boots.
Yeah, well, he's a great guy. Trevor and I met, oh my gosh, I may be off, but I'm going to say 5 years ago, and we've appeared together several times speaking on the same platform, and of course we've had dinner numerous times together. And then,
yes, but have you had a sleepover?
Twice I had... I took Trevor around the state of Arizona because I was speaking, and I said, hey, why don't you come speak? And so we ended up speaking, four or five places together on a two-day journey, and that was just riotous. And he became my little Kiwi buddy. That's our nickname for him. And I met the girl he married, Victoria, before they were married, and she's just dynamite. She's wonderful, and he really married up with Victoria.
I could have used that information on Tuesday.
Well, he did. He said that.
No, I could have used it Tuesday. I mean, we kind of ran out of things to talk about. But we didn't tell her we were driving in a blizzard. We decided not to stress her out.
I hear the music.
What?
I hear the music.
Trevor, is it in your
Trevor
ear?
Is a, Trevor, as you all know, and if your listeners
hey, Lyle,
look, Trevor,
we gotta start this off bad. We gotta cut you off and do a break. We're celebrating capitalism before we celebrate communism.
I gotcha.
All right,
gotcha.
We'll be right back.
They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? What do they want? What shall we do about them? What do they want? What shall we do about them? What do they want? What shall we do about them? What do they want?
Oh! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood.
That's probably what Trevor is having bad PTSD flashbacks about.
That's good.
So how do you wind up crossing paths with him? You started to tell us before you were unceremoniously cut off at the knees there.
Cut off, yeah, but that's good. It pays the bills, which means I get a check for appearing on your show.
Yeah, your $1.86 is in the mail, man.
My $1.85. Oh, it's gone up a penny. This is great.
Shoot.
Inflation's horrible.
Should have read the notes.
Horrible thing.
My goodness. We met like 5 years ago by a mutual acquaintance, and then we found ourselves speaking on the same dais several times, and that just kind of solidified. And then dinner, we just hit it off. And Trevor, for your listeners, Trevor Loudon is by far the premier researcher when it comes to things of dealing with communism in America, and how the Communist Party is very much alive and well, and how Marxists have taken over such positions in our government as Congress, the Senate, all that. And I think probably 5 years ago that was a little bit difficult to accept, but his research is impeccable.
And really, really deep. He's got what? The Enemies Within has like a, it's a huge dossier on like 50 members of Congress, past and present.
Yeah. And he names them and gives very, very detailed information. His books are phenomenally researched, cross-referenced, et cetera, et cetera. So if anyone wants to get information on the Marxist movement in America, go to Trevor Loudon, and it's well worth it. They're bigger books. They're not like quick. It's not like you're going to sit down and read one over coffee. They're really thick, but they are very, very important research edifices. Trevor and I, he's just a great personality, great person. Victoria, his wife, is nicer than Trevor. I'll say that. I need to send him this tape afterwards.
I asked him before he got back in his car, I was like, so we should do some radio. And he looked at me like, after the last 12 hours, I'm so over you.
Yeah. He's got a great,
maybe that was just me,
bright sense of humor. Just a wonderful guy. I can't speak enough of him, about him. And we've just enjoyed each other for all these years. So Trevor Loudon, go get his books. They're well worth it. They're phenomenal research.
He's actually working on a new video called the movie, The Enemies Within the Church.
So that's correct.
That's the one he's working on. He's got another one that's out, The Enemies Within, and I have it. It's at home, but I don't remember what the, is there a, I think it's all just really about the communists in our government.
It is. He wrote me, a while back, because I wrote an article. As you guys know, I write commentaries and articles for online publications, and I wrote one a while back talking about how Marxism has invaded the church. And I did not know that Trevor was starting the research on the same topic. I had no idea. So I sent him my article, which I do normally, and he wrote back going, this is so great because I am doing a book, my next book, and a video is on how Marxism has seeped into the church. You see what's happening in part, Marxism has been in the shadows or in the wings, and it's coming to the forefront. I think there's a number of reasons why. It's not any one particular straight, clean path, but it's been working its way into the forefront. And now we have people in Congress people, who are avowed Marxists, and they're proud to say that. I would have never thought I would have seen the day. I'm serious.
Yeah, that's what's amazing is
they were, it really is,
kind of in the background really before, and now it's they're proud to stand up and wave their flag. Yeah,
you're right, Bill. I mean, I think they would have said, okay, I may lean more, very more liberal, or they would have used some other acceptable buzzwords. They may have, as of late, or as early, what would it be, late, as a couple of years ago, used the word socialist, but now, they're not hiding anything. They're Marxists, they're proud of it, they believe in the Alinsky model, the Saul Alinsky model. They believe in Marxism. If you take a look at any of the proposed legislations they're promoting, it's Marxism. I mean, look at these new couple of Congress people who are promoting Marxist legislation that, what is it, up to 80% of our taxes?
Yeah.
Or we will be taxed 80%, 80%, 90%?
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that'll make people happy.
I have a special song for Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, I hope
so much material there.
I hope the American people wake up. They're still, caught up with their social lives, and everything is fine. I mean, you look out the window of your home, wherever you're at right now, listening to this show, and probably things are very peaceful. They're very nice, unless you're having a stormy day. And even
that, your trees are down. Yeah,
or your trees are down, right? Or your power lines.
Or you have no
down.
Power. Sorry, Sean.
But no, Marxism is very much front and center, and it's in the Congress and the Senate of the United States. Who would have guessed?
Well, I think as we kind of explore ourselves down the road of socialism, I think a lot of these people are excited to, you know, think we're going to get free housing and free schooling and free medical and all this. I believe that the further down this road we get and people start realizing what this is going to cost us, not just monetarily but socially, I think they will wake up. I think they're going to see that this never has worked. It's not going to work here, and people are going to kind of come unglued a little bit.
I think you're right, but unfortunately, it's going to be very painful because it's sort of like closing the barn door after the horses or
right.
the cows are out.
Right.
And it's a shame that we have to go to that extreme. Venezuela is a good example of how it doesn't work. Cuba is a good example of how it doesn't work. Heck, just take a look at through most of Europe where you have a mixture of Marxism or extreme socialism, if you will, and Islam. It's not working. None of it's working, but until it's really on your doorstep and you have to face it, you can't just shut the door on it. Unfortunately, human nature is we'll let somebody else deal with it. I thought it was interesting the other day, Governor Cuomo of New York made a journey to Washington to meet with President Trump. They're not good friends. And Cuomo had to come in, and he met with Trump because he was asking the president for some help bailout of New York. New York's budget is so deep in the red, they don't know how they're going to get out of it. And people are bailing out of New York. And as you all know, Amazon just decided not to go through with their transaction in New York City. And that would have employed 25,000, 27,000 people and would have helped the economy phenomenally there. And they bailed out because of the socialistic overtones and undertones in New York. And so Cuomo goes to Trump, who he does not like at all and has publicly stated, but with his hand out going, hey, will you help us now?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I mean, they were the ones that were instrumental in Amazon bailing out. I mean, and I don't blame them. Uh-huh. If they you know, you want to badmouth them and make a hostile environment for them, why would you go there?
It's like, fine, we won't come here.
And the people now are in New York, a lot of them are very upset about that because that was going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of infrastructure improvements and everything else to New York, and that's just instantly gone away, and they're still bragging about it. It was a victory to some of these guys. Yeah, we stopped Amazon. It is. It's just it's unbelievable.
It really is.
It's one of those things where you just see the bad, policy, I guess, that she suggests, and all these other guys line up right behind her. So we have a snazzy song in her honor that we'll take on our way out to the break, and we'll be back with our guest, Lyle Rapacki. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Look out. If you're alone on a moonlit night, be careful of the neighborhood strays. Have a lady with long black hair trying to win you with her feminine ways. Crystal ball on the table.
Texas, back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Anna sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said?
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. come and take it, but we'll warn you, you'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it, one shot at a time.
That's where you live now.
Wow. That is a powerful song. And if you just played that through the rest of this show over and over, that's really a message that,
don't you think?
In part, oh, my gosh. I just sent out, I think y'all got it. Texas, the legislature,
yes,
and the governor, did you get that?
Yep, we posted it. It's online.
Oh, did you? Okay. They're actively not just considering, but they're working through the legislative process here in Texas to fund, I think it's $2.5 billion for the wall in Texas. They're not waiting for the U.S. Congress. They're not waiting for anyone else. They're going to just go ahead and wall in those areas of Texas that are subject to a mass illegal invasion. And Texas is like that. We've lived here only 9 months now, and even though we've been back and forth over the years, it really is a republic, as I wrote in my article. It's a state, but it never gave up its status as a republic. And if you look at that up legally, it retains certain rights, and one of them is to preserve its status. And whether the Congress does or not, it's a republic. And that's why you still have the Texas Rangers that are in, I don't want to say the word entitled, they're licensed, they're commissioned as federal agents. They can go anywhere, not only in the United States, but anywhere in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I did not either.
Because this is a republic, and so even though it's a state, the state of Texas, you'll hear it said many times, the Republic of Texas, or long live the Republic. I mean, you've probably have heard that about Texas, and it is. It never gave up its status. That was one of the negotiations when it came into the Union, is that it would be a full member of the Union as a state, but it would not surrender its status as a sovereign republic. And that contains, and that keeps a lot of influence and power within the state itself. So for them to actively move ahead to fund their own wall on the southern border, that's not a joke, and it's not a political commentary. It's because there is a crisis, and listen to the political people in D.C. who are so out of touch, you would think it's blown out of proportion, but it's not. Any of the border states will tell you, and I've been involved in border security for a little over 10 years, they'll tell you how serious this is. I think we've done it in other shows. We've talked about not just the illegals coming over from Mexico, but you've got Middle Eastern countries and countries of special origins that are avowed hatred to America. And they are involved with the overall migration toward our border and into the United States. It's a very, very serious problem. I think we've talked about the medical emergencies. I think I've sent y'all, at one time they were classified, but I declassified them, the reports that I gave 2 years ago in the state legislature in Arizona, and then they went federal to other venues, talking about and documenting, not just opinions, but documenting the medical problems that were coming this way. And since that time, that's been all borne out. We've got
flesh-eating bacteria.
Yes, ma'am. We've got tuberculosis that's not responsive to antibiotics. We've got pneumonias and other diseases that are not responding medically. And all of this is being covered up. It's just being covered up. They do not want people to know.
Well, apparently Beto O'Rourke didn't know about this legislation because he just made the remark that he would tear down the wall in El Paso.
Yeah. So how do you think that's going to fly?
That's probably not going to go over too good with the folks in Texas, is it?
Well, you know, Texas is here's a news flash for you. Texas is in the crosshairs of not only the Democrat and the socialist people for 2020. They're dumping a lot of money in here. A lot of the power players are coming in to convert Texas from its conservative stance into a more socialistic stance so they can pick up the congressional seats and all the rest of that. So that's a big thing, and you're going to see a lot more about Texas as one of the states that they're targeting. Arizona, my old state, is another one that they're targeting. Oklahoma is another one. There's about five or six states, and they're very very systematically placed in the United States because they're attempting to buffer the central part of the country. They've got both the coasts, and so they figure if they can go ahead and make some inroads in this in the centralized states, and inroads meaning socialistic inroads, then they're never going to have to worry again about electing a conservative. And so a lot of money, a lot of power, and people are coming in to hopefully sway the populace into voting a socialistic agenda. They're making Trump out also as if he's a madman, just absolutely codified as a madman. I think the last show I was on, I brought up those national emergencies, and I heard Aaron talk about it at the head of the hour, the top of the hour. I knew that he was getting ready to, he was working on that legislation. I also knew that he was not going to get what he was wanting, and therefore he might have to declare an emergency. And so I brought up on our last show the fact that the president may declare a national state of emergency, and what that really meant. And then also we've been under a state of emergency perpetually, consistently since 1979. And now you've posted, I believe, that article or what I sent you.
Yes.
The part of the reason for that, again, I'm repeating myself, is because I knew that if the legislative process did not work successfully, he would have to go ahead and declare a national state of emergency to take it over the top. In other words, to get his funding and to do the things that were necessary to provide for the protection of our sovereignty. And I knew instantly the Democrats and the socialists, et cetera, would go ahead and say that he's usurping the Constitution, that he is absolutely a madman, caught up in power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not true. The president is doing what one of his chief functions is to preserve and protect the Constitution and the people of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to provide for our common defense and to provide for the sovereignty of this nation. That's what he's doing. It's stunning to me. It's breathtaking to me that you have people in the Senate and the Congress, governors, whomever, could be, city council, who would think otherwise. Each elected official in their own realm, that's their chief responsibility, is to protect the people under their charge. And I find it stunning that you have people from city council all the way up to the Senate of the United States who have abrogated their responsibility and are willing to play football, political football with it at the expense of the people. One of the problems that's not being discussed is in the bill that the Congress gave him to sign. It's like, what, 1,500 pages or something like that, 1,200 pages. What they're not discussing is $192 million was put into that bill. They gave him some monies for the wall, but they also put in $192 million to bus illegals into the United States. That's in the bill. You can look it up. They also put $128 million into this bill for medical treatment. Well, why would there need to be medical treatment if there's not a medical crisis at the border?
Right.
Don't answer that.
Yeah, really.
You ready for this? $40 million. $40 million is put into this piece of legislation specifically for diapers and for food for kids. $40 million. And then here's one that just is just really something. $220 million. $220 million to create reception centers. These are reception centers to allow the illegals to come in,
wow,
to help them financially, and to house them and to get them spread out through the United States through the busing that I already said, $192 million. And here's another one that is just... tell me how, if you're a United States senator, a United States congressman, a governor, a mayor, I don't care, Parks and Rec, if you hold a position of trust, how you can support what's called the open cartel route. That's what it's called, the open cartel route. And that is the routes that have been known to be cartel-controlled routes that Obama used. I'm not making this up. Obama used to aid parents picking up their kids. So what they did is they released these little people into the hands of the cartels to get them into the United States. And then once they're in the United States, they got to get these parents over here because now they have anchor babies. And so the whole family is now Americanized because they're here. Well, these open cartel routes, and that's what they're called, were to help the parents reunite with their children who were given to the cartels to transport up into the United States. And that was Obama's plan. And so what the Dems have done in this piece of legislation that the president asked for funding for the walls is they put in there a piece of a portion of the legislation reopening those routes. They also went ahead and put $1 million in for rescue beacons. There's been rescue beacons out into the desert for, I'm going to say, about 8 years, probably a little bit longer than that.
Are these like lifeguard towers at the beach?
Yeah, they're actually like little beacons. Beacons are maybe, you know, 10, 15 feet tall. And they have a beacon on the top, and they blink. And there's a satellite phone there. And what you can do if you're lost or you're thirsty or you're hungry,
dial
or
a ride,
whatever. Pretty much.
God.
Pretty much. I mean, I will cut through the chase.
Yeah.
And so you go to those beacons and you punch in, you know, you punch in the number of that beacon right there, and they
punch
know
in
exactly
the number. You punch in the address of the home you'd really like to live in the United States.
Yeah. Dial up an Uber,
and they take
pretty
you
much.
There.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow,
so in this piece of legislation that Trump asked for, they've also snuck in $1 million to upgrade and add more beacons. So I just very briefly, just those numbers that I gave you are pieces of this overall piece of legislation that the Dems are hiding from everybody. They don't want anyone to know.
Well, that's,
and yet they won't fund the wall.
And that's why they didn't...
I want to come back to that after the break. Because
we will.
It's pretty incredible to me that we can't have a border that can't keep children.
That we have people who are entrusted with the, you know, maintaining the sovereignty of the country who don't want to have a border.
Yeah.
So I found some good President Trump songs. So it's interesting how you re-listen to the things of the 70s and you go, man, those are good Trump songs. So here's one in defense of the national emergency. Here we go. We'll be right back. That's what the Democrats hear every time Donald Trump speaks.
He's the boogeyman. Yeah.
Because, see, like, boogie, the dancing part, long ago, they don't have the vaguest idea what that means.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if it was I don't know if it was Bill who said something about O'Rourke, but he he had a rally the same time as the president in El Paso about a week ago. And what was not fully reported was that he only had several hundred people show up to his rally. Uh-huh. And one quarter mile away was the Trump rally. Now, that was planned by O'Rourke because he wanted to have a face-off, sort of like, I'm going toe-to-toe with you. Well, there's videotape. And I've seen the video, and I can send it to y'all. There's videotape that shows that he had to stop his presentation because the cheers of the Trump rally were so loud, one quarter mile away, that even though he was speaking into a microphone to his several hundred people, he could not get over the cheers. The
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing because I was reading something. I think it was on MSN or something. Said that he had, he had like 7,000 people there, and it was it was jam packed. No, it wasn't.
No, did not. But here's something else that was not reported. There was over 69,000 people, 69,000 people for the Trump rally. They only were able to get 10,000 into the arena, but over 69,000 people.
That's almost as many people as live in our entire town.
Yeah, and Mr. Trump is pulling more and more people because he is being consistent. He's not polished, if you will allow me this, like most of these politicians are. They have the verbiage down. He's straightforward. He tells you what he thinks, but he's in touch with the average guy in the street, and they're responding to him. And after two and a half years being in office, they're looking at the consistency of this guy. And even though there's some rough patches here and there, and he's not, you know, somebody could say he's not really always presidential, whatever that means. He's consistent, and he puts Americans first. He puts America first. He is defending this nation economically, industrially, militarily, culturally. And the people are beginning to notice the consistency of this guy, and they're responding to it. This is throwing the Dems and the socialists and the Marxists just to the side. They don't know how to counter it. And the more they try, the more it reveals who they really are and what their agenda is. So I think you're going to see that happen more over the next, let's say, year and a half for these elections.
Yeah, well, they just keep becoming more extreme.
Yeah. It's ludicrous to me that they can write these types of things into this immigration bill and then turn right around and say, he's not, you know, he's unstable and so forth when he wants to build a wall. I mean, which one is more radical? Let me ask you this: when you were talking about these routes that we have to maintain, does that mean we can't build a wall or a fence or whatever across these routes to keep them from using them?
Oh, that's a fascinating point. That's a great question. The routes, Bill, are in Mexico, coming up to our actual border.
Mm-hmm.
These are cartel routes. Now, they're not like they don't have signposts
right.
on them or street posts. You know?
Yeah, but everybody knows where
beacons,
they are.
Right?
I mean, if you're
yeah, well, they have beacons. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know
where signposts.
I don't know where the Oregon Trail is, but I know it's pretty popular.
If a good several years ago, maybe four. There was a colleague of mine in Washington, D.C., who briefs members of Congress on intelligence matters. And this individual asked me if I could take them to the border and show them the real unfettered border. In other words, bottom line. So I arranged for them when they came to Arizona. We went out to the eastern side of Arizona, not toward Yuma, but the eastern side. And I have videotape to this account. I have photos, still photos, And I arranged it with the sheriff. The sheriff of that county actually took about 2 days to clear out and make sure there was security on the high areas of the mountains and all of that, so there'd be no sniper activity. I'm not making this up. And a lot of legwork went into this, so I could take this individual down to the border and actually have this individual brief, knowing that they would then go back to D.C. and brief selected individuals. And so I had the sheriff brief this individual. I had a rancher who owns a couple hundred acres on the several hundred acres actually on the border, contiguous with the border. And I had this individual briefed, and we then went carpooled, if you will, sheriff's vehicles and all that, to parts of the border where there was no border. In other words, there was one string of barbed wire, and they could put their foot in Mexico and the other foot in America. There's your border. I also took them to a place. I asked the sheriff, Sheriff Daniels, Mark Daniels, great guy, great patriot, Cochise County, Arizona. I asked Sheriff Daniels, let's make sure we take this individual to a portion of the border where there is a border wall. And we did. We took this individual to a part where there is an official United States border wall. Now, and it's formable. I mean, it's tall and it looks impressive. Of course, the big gate was open, and the gate is like 20 feet wide and 10 feet tall. And the gate to the border wall was open because you got to have, based on the EPA, you got to have a passageway for water to flow. So, oh, you can have people come right through the border wall because the gate's open.
You can't make it up.
Of all of this. And so this individual got a view, a first-hand view. There's pictures of me and this individual and the sheriff and others on the border wall touching. I said, touch the border wall. You got to touch it. That way you can say you actually went to the border and touched it. And we have photos of all of this stuff. It is so pathetic. That this individual was stunned, and all the way back up to Phoenix, this individual couldn't get over just how porous this border is. And there was actually a caravan, small caravan, that was stopped about a half a mile south of the border. They were on their way up, but they saw all the activity. And so they stopped, and the sheriff's deputies spotted them, showed where they were, and took this individual. We went up on a little hill, gave this individual binoculars, and said, look in that direction, and you'll see a group of about 35 people. Sure enough, there they were behind some big bushes. There they were. And they were just simply waiting for us all to leave so they could then
scurry through the open gate.
Yeah, that's wild. We got a break.
It's exhausting. No. Okay, so we have you.
So I want to answer your question.
Okay, but you can't because the news is going to cut us off.
Oh, okay.
So we have to do dot dot dot, and we'll be back. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is
Hit
Steam
it, Bill.
Power. You always ruin my flow.
I know. I really like doing that.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
I have a problem.
Are you ready?
Sorry.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Can I do it?
Okay.
All right. Team Powers, our local Kubota tractor dealer. They're up on 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they do everything tractors. If you need service, parts, sales, whatever it is, they can do it. Right now, they're running service specials. You can get in there and get a discount rate on getting your equipment serviced up and ready for spring. So stop in and see them. Phone number is 226-9226. Or catch them on the web at readingtractors.com. And that's a good site. Go there. They've got pricing. They've got their used equipment list there. You can go in there and find the deal that's right for you, then stop in and see them. They got great financing. They're running 0% financing right now on zero for 60 months on brand new tractors.
That's pretty snazzy. Yeah, are they still doing the special for the people who had their equipment destroyed?
Yes,
in the fire?
They are. They are. Kubota's come out with a program that if you lost your tractor in one of the big fires here, it doesn't matter what brand it was. Just come in and see them, and they have some discounts set up for those folks as well. So, Team Power, go by and see them. There you are.
And there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get back to Lyle,
But for our end, just so people know.
Yeah.
You have burning questions?
I have burning questions.
Wow. Uh-huh. Well, the burning is over. We're now into snow. Do you have snowy questions?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
You have any tree down
questions?
They're
probably going to come across as pretty cold-hearted, but yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Let's have seasonal questions.
Yeah.
just to raise the bar a little bit.
Okay.
So let's see. You can find everything about this show. Not you, Bill. You, the listener. You,
yes.
Yous out there. Yous guys.
Yeah.
We're at wethepeopleradio.us. Our archives are free to listen to, and our good friend Robert Exter has done a wonderful job of taking out the capitalism that we celebrate. So he takes that out. You can listen to 1 hour, you can listen to the other hour separately, you can listen to them all together, it's just an MP3 file, and we don't care what you do with them. So if you want to share them with a friend, put them on your MP3 player, it's unrestricted. We do this for this is for entertainment purposes. No, it's just a little bit of it is. It's educational purposes.
Yeah, it's very educational.
So feel free to share it.
Yeah. So getting back to this stuff they wrote into the bill with the secret beacons and the silk highways they've put through there so that, you know, we can have a steady flow going across the border.
Uber drivers to bring them there.
So we put these beacons up so that when these people cross the border, they have a place to go and dial up an Uber ride for when they get here. Can we fence off those routes so that they can see the beacon, but they can't get to it? I mean, that...
Is the beacon in Mexico?
No, I think the beacon's on our side, isn't it? Why would we pay for a beacon? Yeah.
The beacons are on the American side once you cross over.
So they already sneaked in at that point.
But they're in... you need to appreciate, if you've not been to the southern border, it's mammoth. And not just long, but from the border inland, if you will allow me that, it's quite a lot of desert. And during large portions of the year, it's hot, it's ugly, it's hard to traverse,
yeah,
and it's controlled by cartels, especially in northern Mexico. A large cartel that operates along the border has all the high points, and they are tracking, watching their drug cartels being brought up to and through the United States border. So once you cross over the border into America, you still have many, many miles of nothingness.
Sure.
Now, portions of the border, as soon as you cross over, you go on to, in Arizona, for instance, the Dakota Odom Nation. That's an Indian nation. And they refuse to allow any walls or anyone to interfere with their nation. So that is wide open territory. It is well known that it's wide open. Everybody and their brother knows it's wide open and unmanned. And so a lot of drugs, a lot of trafficking, human and other child trafficking comes up through that way. But in other portions, you cross the border, you come into America, the United States, you go for 25, 30, 40, 50 miles, and it's desert. And so
that in itself is a barrier. I mean, you'd think.
Yeah, you would think. But you know, there's lots of dead bodies out there because, you know, what's just not publicized, what people just don't know, is it's hot, it's ugly, there's dangers out there, and if you drop, you drop. They move on,
right,
and you stay. No one's there.
Yeah, this isn't a no man left behind sort of an arrangement.
Pretty much, yeah. And so what has happened, and I can appreciate a debate on this, America, about nine years ago, they started putting beacons out on the American side in the desert in case somebody needed help. It could be any, and some of these places, actually they tried to do it in all the places, and I don't know if it worked very well, but they put water, big canisters of water, and that was life-saving mm-hmm. in itself. But you go to the beacon because you can see it. It's up, you know, you're out in the desert. And you see this beacon 10 feet in the sky, 15 feet in the sky, and it flashes. And they all know what it is. And so you go toward that light and you press it, and that sends a signal satellite-wise, and it tells Border Patrol where you're at, and then they come and they rescue you.
And are you considered an illegal alien at that point because you're actually on the American side and you haven't gone through any... checkpoint.
Correct. That's correct. So however, under Obama policy, they made provision for all of that. It didn't matter that you're illegal. You crossed over. You all of a sudden had the rights of an American, which is just astounding to me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, under the Obama policy, they used to have a thing called catch and release,
right.
Or interdict and release, where Border Patrol would stop you if you had crossed over and were on the American side, the United States side. They would get your name, whatever information you gave them, and then they released you. Because that was the policy.
But did they release you right there, or did they take you to the local town and release you on the street?
Both. They did both. They did both. I mean, they'd interdict and release. A lot of times they would take you and process you at a Border Patrol station or substation, and then release you.
But that's still happening, right?
Well, it's still happening, and what people don't realize is when they release you, I mean, we're talking they'd give you a bus ticket, some little bit of food and spending money, and release you, and there you go. And, of course, you got cited, by the way. You got a ticket saying you entered the United States illegally.
No, the ticket.
And that you had to show up in court. In 6 months.
Yeah, they know where that is when they get here.
Exactly.
And that's a high priority.
So under this bill where the president asked for the $5 billion for the wall, begrudgingly the Dems said, okay, we'll give you some money for this wall, but we're adding all this other stuff to it. And that's why I think it's about 1,200 pages, this legislation. And when you start to go through it, the things that I pointed out, plus there's other things, they start to pop up. And it's just heinous what the Democrats have done. So they could say, we're supportive, we went ahead, we secured the border, we gave the president what he wanted. Well, they really didn't, but they did. In other words, they got enough in there that they could make a claim. But what they're not telling the American people is the stuff that I just pointed out to you, plus many other little things. We know for a fact, and there's videotape to this, that they're still transporting illegals through buses into cities like Phoenix and other places where they are then offloaded to Catholic charities, Methodist charities, who are under contract and receive fundings from the federal government to house and then to transport illegal aliens. This is known. This has been known for years. There was a bill in the there was a threatening to be a bill in the Arizona legislature, and we brought in Catholic Charities head honchos for the whole state, the executive directors, the director, I mean the whole thing, and myself and an individual who I cannot name, who's an intelligence specialist from Washington, the same person who went to the border with me. Who I took to the board, I should say. I asked this individual, I asked the senators, would they mind if this individual sat in this meeting? Absolutely not. And could we then cross-examine, once the senators were done, could we cross-examine these Catholic Charities leaders? They said absolutely. Well, we cross-examined them, and we were not politically correct. We're not running for office. We don't care. We asked them question after question, very pointedly, and they lied. And I caught them in their lies, and I even said, Madam Director, you're lying. you're lying because here, and I pointed out how you're lying. Here's what you wrote a month ago. Here's this, here's that. Now what do you have to say to the senators? Because you just lied to the chairman. Well, you could watch them turn inside out trying to get their point across, which was basically, we're being paid per head to bring in an illegal, house them, and then reship them to already predetermined locations in the state and then elsewhere. They're being paid.
Who's getting paid?
All these organizations.
Catholic
Social Services, Methodist Social Services.
Right.
Absolutely, this is big money. This is big business. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars coming into these charities, who are basically providing recluses for illegals. This has been known for some time. This is not a secret. This is not secret squirrel stuff. It's just nobody's talking about it and no one's addressing it.
So
when you say
they're busing them in, are they picking them up on the other side and bringing them, or are they?
You can't ask any questions. You have to go to the cone of silence right now. Up to the cone of silence.
I have ways of making.
Ashley has ways of making you be quiet. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rabacki. And we'll talk some more about this for another 45 minutes. You're listening to We the People.
Go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves aloud. The ghost moon sails among the clouds, turns the rifles in silver on the border. Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. Take our God and guns.
There you go, Lyle. It's my other little Texas song for you, but it kind of goes for everywhere. So
that is a great song.
It's a good one too, huh?
Hey, so I want to get back to this busing thing.
So Bill's freaking out about the busing.
Yeah, because I'm planning a vacation now. Tijuana, so I'm going to catch a bus ride up and maybe make some money to El Paso or someplace. And, but so,
El Paso, you don't need a bus ride because they're going to take the wall down. Remember, Beto's going to do it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Pay attention.
But I still need a ride. So if they're busing these folks in and making money, where are they picking them up? Is it after they've caught them and they're on our side of the border, then they bus them from there, or are they actually picking them up on the other side and bringing them over?
Well, these last caravans, we have videotape showing that they bus them to the border communities like Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Tijuana is right on the other side of San Diego, so you got a wall.
Right.
And on one side is San Diego, the other side is Tijuana. And so they would bus them up to border towns, but that's Mexico.
Right.
Once they cross, if they're crossing illegally, which I don't know how else they do it, and they're caught, they're taken by Border Patrol to a Border Patrol holding area. And then historically what has happened is they're released. And they're released and bused to reception centers. These reception centers are under contract to the United States government, at least under Obama, and they made monies per head for each illegal that was already processed, if you will, through Border Patrol, and now, quote-unquote, waiting for their court date. They were already assigned a court date 6 months from now.
Terrific.
So then they were picked up from the Border Patrol substation and brought to a sanctuary city where there was reception centers. In these reception centers, they were housed, food, clothed, medically treated, and then they were released because they had paperwork showing they had to be in court in 6 months.
Okay, so there's another question. If they cross, say, near Tijuana and they go through all these monkey motions and they get released for a court date, if they're bused to some other area, where's that court date? Is it any federal court or is that a specific federal? Do they have to get a bus ride back?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, I mean, this is...
Yeah, they have to go to a specific court. Of course, they don't show up.
Well, no, because we just bust them 500 miles away to somewhere else, and now they can't get there.
500? You are... I apologize. Yeah, you may have bust them 500 miles, but then what happens is there are networks. Let me share with you that the state of Vermont and the state of Maine... Now, they're way on the other side of the country. You guys are in California. They're way across the country. I just want to point this out to everybody. Maine and Vermont, way in the tippy-top part of the northeast part of the United States of America, way up there, okay?
Yeah.
They are screaming because they're having so many problems with Islamics and illegals that have found their way into communities. Now, that's a long ways from Tijuana.
Sure.
And yet, because of their social policies, socialistic policies, they were open arms, come on down to Vermont. Come on down to Maine.
So if they're now, in Vermont, all of a sudden, if they're in Vermont or Maine and their court date comes up, do they have to go back to the Tijuana area to go to court?
Well, sure.
Oh, well, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Lovely.
So what happens is, and that's why you're seeing people who are arrested for heinous crimes, murder, mayhem, whatever, DWI, they've killed somebody, they've hurt somebody. And when you pull their jacket, you see that they've been arrested 3, 4, 5, 6 times for illegally coming into the country. They're then sent back over the border, and then they work their way back into the United States. They're caught again, and they're sent back. And I mean, this is just a revolving door. Mm-hmm. Likewise, they may have other crimes where they've even served time, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, in a jail in the United States. Then they're released pending a court date, which they don't keep, and then maybe they go a year or so and something else happens. They're arrested, and now they come to find out, well, not only are you in the country illegally, but you've been in jail a couple of times. So now we're deporting you because you haven't kept your court date. So they go back over to Mexico. They fly them back over, and they work their way back into the United States again.
God.
This is a revolving door.
This has been going on.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
How could that ever go wrong?
Well, and what you have in places like California, it's a sanctuary state, which and that's another show, and it's maybe even above my pay grade here, but how do you declare that? I mean, it's not in keeping with the Constitution and the federal law, but anyway, there is the 10th Amendment. States do have the rights to do their own thing in the states, but so now you have cities like San Diego and California that's a sanctuary state, and this is one of the reasons why these caravans have worked their way all the way up from, oh my gosh, Honduras, Guatemala, in through Mexico, and then they've made a detour left and went over to San Diego. If they had come into Brownsville or El Paso or McAllen, Texas, that's a lot easier because that's down further south. But they deliberately make a left-hand turn. I'll send you the maps where they make a left-hand turn and they go up toward Tijuana and then they cross over in San Diego. And the reason for that is because from San Diego all the way north, it's a sanctuary state. And they know once they get into California, all the in free.
Right.
So
because that's where all the other laws take effect, where we can't ask them their status if they're picked up
correct.
And they get released
correct.
From jail. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. That's correct. And they all know this. This is all well known. I mean, Obama, during the Obama years, they would have billboards. This is fact. It's not my opinion. You can check it out. They would have billboards, big old billboards, not only in the desert but down into Mexico, phone numbers you would call as to how to beat the system, how to get into the United States, and how to declare sanctuary. They had billboards. They had flyers. They had radio advertisements. This is not, I'm not making this up. And so it has been a well-known secret for years how to thwart the system and to get into the United States. And once you're in here, that's it. You're all the in free. And if you're a kid, all the better. And sure. So it has been known, and they're still doing it. Parents would give up their little people, their little kids, to a car member or someone else, get them in, because all you have to do is throw them over the wall.
And
there's pictures of this effect. I'm not making this up. It's just gross, but nobody wants to talk about it. They throw them over because once you get them here, they're an anchor baby.
Right, and then the parents have to come and join them.
No,
because
I've seen those videos
undocumented kid
them
here.
Over the wall. Yeah.
There you go. They drop them. You're right, Bill. They drop them over the wall, all the in free. Oh, now wait a minute. These are not my parents, so now I need my parents. Well, guess what? The parents come up through the cartel avenues or streets that are well known, and they come into the United States to get their kids. They just never leave.
Really? But what's a parent anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, now that we have more than two genders, I think the whole parent thing is up for grabs, too.
There's 31 genders now, I think.
And when we come back, I've got a question from a little while ago, top of the hour. Ron wanted to know about the snipers, wanted to know if they're Mexican cartel snipers, and are they on American soil or Mexican soil? So we can mull that over during our celebration of capitalism here. And I found a snazzy song for us from the Edgar Winter Group. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Every 50 feet.
We are all just pinatas everywhere.
Of our own device. We'd stay forever.
In the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast.
Stabbed
with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast.
Darn Republicans.
Last thing I remember, I was running for the door.
That's everybody trying to leave.
That's the border.
I had to find a passage back.
Exactly.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
We're so rude. Talk over the song.
Like
thrown in the commentary. It's like Mystery Science Theater over here. A couple of screw-offs. Lyle, was your microphone muted so you couldn't join in? Is that the problem? you didn't want to get tarred with our brush? Is that what that...
Pretty much. I'm trying to stay out of it.
I didn't hear any of that.
Trying to stay out of it.
That's horrible. Listen to these kids. This is a freak show.
For heaven's sakes.
My paycheck that you sent me doesn't cover that sort of
liability.
It doesn't cover talking over the song humor?
No. My $1.85 doesn't cover We'd have to renegotiate and go up to at least $2.25 or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. You're sitting here listening to this stuff and it's just so frustrating. I'm thinking, Free Ride, that would be a good song. It's like, ugh. It'd be nice just to live our lives again. You think we'll ever get to do that?
Nope.
I don't either.
No.
It's never coming
back. I'm going to send you, I'm saying this on the air for everybody to hear, but I'm sending you,
no pressure.
Give me about another 60 seconds, I'm going to send you a video of Bernie Sanders, drunk and shirtless, singing This Is Your Land in the Soviet Union in 1988.
Oh, really?
Wow, I can't even decide which is ugliest.
Whoa. Yeah, that's great.
It kind of takes your breath away a little bit.
It really does.
These folks all have it figured out that once they get here, particularly if they have children, they're home free. They pretty much could stay here as long as they want, as long as they're in California.
Look at all the outcry now of Trump being careless.
The monster.
Heartless. Yeah, because of the poor little children. I mean, this is all a very insidious game. This is to break down the sovereignty of the United States, much like what's happening in Europe. And the same types of caravans are taking place in Europe at the same time that these caravans are coming up through Mexico into America. This is not a coincidence. This is well orchestrated, well planned.
Can we discuss this on future show? No, we haven't done it on future shows yet. Sorry. That's wrong. Do that again, but backwards. In previous shows, we've discussed that these things are all funded. They have porta potties and new shoes and smartphones.
I was able to disclose some stuff without getting into too much because of the classifications, but well funded. We know by at least a large number of who they are, not specific individuals. Well organized, logistically operational, with food, clothing, porta potties, camps, just name it. This is not a happenstance, spur of the moment, whatever. In fact, there's another caravan that's starting up, and I just got the information earlier today, and so we're going to have to look into this, but they're talking about 30,000. 30,000.
Oh, my gosh.
This way. Now, here's one of the secondary features of this. Will 30,000 make it across our border? No. But what they're doing is they're staging them along our border. And this is something else that's not being discussed, but I'll discuss it here just briefly. What's being set up on the southern border, contiguous with the United States border, are communities, be it tent communities or other types of communities, similar to the Gaza Strip in Israel, where you have the sovereignty of the nation of Israel, and just on the other side, I mean inches, feet away, you've got the Gaza, and you've got Palestinians and others. And so that requires constant surveillance, constant monitoring, which is redundant from surveillance, and military presence, because they're building tunnels, they're trying to get across to invade Israel. Same thing is going on here. What's not being discussed is that whoever can get across, hooray, they get across. But at the same time, they're building camps along our southern border to have like a Gaza Strip. So they have these now communities, if you will, along contiguous with our southern border, so they have a steady stream of being able to put people across.
Yeah, because there was a story here just a few weeks ago where one of these caravans, showed up on the border, and just within days they caught, I think it was 300 that had crossed somewhere, and they just they had no intention of getting very far. They just wanted to get across, and those 300 were caught and released into our community.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We have videotape going just this past October, November, of approximately 300 that were bussed into the Phoenix area and released into reception centers, fed, clothed, fixed up, and then released. And this was after the president went ahead and attempted to seal the border. This is a mammoth problem. I think if the American people really, really knew how bad this was, there may be more of an outcry. You've got not just farmers and poor little people who want to come up and better their lives. You've got members of ISIS. You've got MS-13. You've got other gangs that are killers. You've got Middle Eastern countries that hate America, hate America, and they're slipping their soldiers in here. There's a heck of a war that's taking place on our southern border, and nobody, they want to doctor it up and make it sanitized and look like it's just a group of little families that are just trying to better their lives. These people have no intention, 99% of them have no intention of bettering their lives. They're here to take whatever they can and to be attached to already existing networks, gangs and other things,
right.
Domestic
right.
terrorists.
Yeah, and there, and you know, I realize there are folks that are coming across that are coming from pretty heinous situations that, that want to come over here because, let's face it, living on the street in the United States is probably a better life than what they're running from in El Salvador. But we can't.
The bottom line is we can't fix the entire world by having them come live here.
We can't. And I mean, just go down to L.A. and there's that video online that shows just miles and miles of homeless camps along the L.A. River.
Right. That's correct.
And that is not a safe situation. I mean, the police don't even go down in some of those areas. It's just too dangerous. And
Bill, the same thing's happening in Seattle. They're having real serious problems with a very, very similar situation in Seattle. Same thing's happening in Oregon. But, you know, the common denominator here is each of these, Seattle, Oregon, California, these are all sanctuaries. They're
exactly.
all run by socialists.
Exactly.
They're all socialists, and this is what they want. And what surprises me still, I admit it still surprises me, is the American people, the citizens of those cities and states, how in the heck have they not raised up and said enough?
Oh, yeah.
We used to go to San Francisco
once or twice a year and just travel around, go to museums, you know, and ride the streetcar, and you know, we had a good time. It was actually a fun 2-3 days to go down and spend in the city. Of course, we got to leave, but we don't do that anymore. We can't.
And you know how much fun that's ruined for me? Because one memorable trip, we went with another couple, and the other lady realized there was a transvestite convention at one of the hotels, and when you checked in, you got a free feather boa.
Rather not talk
And so
about
we
that.
Pulled up and sent the guys in to check in, knowing nothing about it. We sat out front waiting for them to come out there.
Yeah. I didn't take
they
the boa.
They came running out, and they didn't take the boa.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
like
you see
pranked.
All those little field trips, they're gone.
Nothing like getting
over.
Pranked on the beginning of a 3-day little vacation. But no, seriously.
Such a great wife.
The situation in San Francisco is not good. And you're right. I can't believe that the people that live there haven't started throwing people out of office to get it cleaned up because it's
no we elected terrible. We elected the guy who started the downhill slide or
oh yeah I, now he's
was
governor.
Part of it was governor and Willie Brown who was a big part of the machinery his girlfriend's now running for president so obviously our goal is to infect the entire country with our sickness sorry.
One thing that always speaks is money. Follow the dollar.
Yep.
And you're starting to see large conventions, conferences pull out of San Francisco. And already the downtown merchants, the economy people of San Francisco are recognizing we've got a problem. But they haven't gotten to the point where they're stomping their feet just yet. But when you start to have these big conferences pull out, like the AMA just pulled out of San Francisco holding a
gosh, and they could really use them there.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, that would have been really handy.
But because of the filth, and I'm trying to clean it up. I mean, it's worse than
that. They have poop maps. They have apps so you can go down streets that don't have as much poop on them.
Well, they have poop patrols now.
Yep.
And correct me if I'm wrong. You guys live there, but they're paid $62,000 a year each. The people poop patrols. They go around. They're picking up poop.
And that was people poop. This isn't dog poop. This is people poop.
That was instigated by the fact that people were getting sick because the poop was
yep.
drying. It was going airborne. People were breathing it
yep.
and picking up these
yep.
weird diseases
yep.
from feces. I mean, what kind of a city?
Well, and that's similar to third and I say fourth world. I was on another radio show and I said that and somebody called in and go, there's no such thing as fourth world. And I said, you know, go away.
There is if you say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, you know, from a technical standpoint, I understand that. Okay. I mean, I finished eighth grade. I've got my little eighth grade diploma. I know this whole fourth world. But when you take a look at some of this humanity that's coming to our border, they're third, fourth, fifth world.
Right.
And we put it in our report. I sent it to you guys, the report we gave to the legislature in Arizona 2 years ago. And that same report was then sent to some other places that I can't mention right now. But and then I released it to you. We unclassified it and sent it to you all and sent it out publicly. There are diseases. There are people who have never, ever seen a doctor. Their immune systems are what kept them alive. And they're bringing with them, they're now carriers, they're bringing with them tuberculosis and other types of diseases Americans have never seen. This is not my opinion. The medical community is screaming for help because
at the same time that we're grinding the Obamacare program into the ground and running our doctors off. So we've gotten to another point of unpleasantness, so it's time to take a commercial break, huh?
Yeah.
When it becomes unpleasant, we have to take a little escape hatch, like, you know, let out the pressure. So we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. In order to get out of socialism, you get to shoot your way out.
Yeah, you got to blast your way out.
Thought we ought to throw that in there. Hey, so, Lyle, what do you think about this emergency declaration anyway?
Does he think he's going to get away with it?
Yes. Yeah, he will. There's nothing illegal about it. And in one sense, we've been under a perpetual state of national emergency since 1976 with Gerald Ford. So there has not been any relief from that. This is what people don't realize is there's been 31 national emergencies over the years, and they have not been relieved. In other words, they haven't been stopped, brought to an end. And so going ahead and declaring one here is just redundant. We're already under a national state of emergency. But he's doing it to release funds. It's an administrative matter. He's able to get some funding from the military construction budgets and maybe even Department of Homeland Security, and that augments the funding that the legislation provided. There's nothing illegal. It's just the Dems, once again, screaming and hollering.
Well, they're trying to make it look like it's some nefarious thing because the there is no emergency. To their mantra has been and will continue to be
and
that there is no emergency.
We've been talking for almost 2 hours about different phases of what is really an emergency, and we would have another hour if we could, and I could get into some of the more specifics of the emergency. It's bad. It's very, very bad. There are weapons trying to be brought over, of course the drugs, human trafficking, terrorists, coming over. Very, very, very little of this is being reported. They don't want the American people to really know just how critical it is along our border. We're under an invasion. We're under an attack. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to use those words because it's just not very pretty. But there are forces lined up against us, bridging our southern border. It's been this way for a while because we've had nobody at the top, meaning no president, be it Republican or Democrat, who's been willing to say enough.
They've gone through some game playing. Just throw down and say, okay, we're going to close the border and we're going to protect ourselves.
Well, that's
correct.
Do you think by moving on the border now and actually attempting to secure it and stop this just rampant flow, do you think that will instigate any kind of a situation with terrorists or whatever trying to up their game a little bit to get across before it is a little more difficult to do so? I mean, I know you can't have a crystal ball, but
I think a lot of focus is being placed on the border, and what's going to be important over the next month or two is to see exactly what's taking place on the border. Be it successful or not, continues to cover for what may be unraveling domestically in the political arenas. With all these investigations, with the Mueller report basically saying there's nothing to report after 2 years, that's going to create some real unraveling of nerves with the Democrats, the media, etc. And they have nowhere to go. They've all stated that Trump colluded with the Russians, and there's no evidence to that.
Right.
And Mueller is about to come out and basically say the same thing. And this is going to create some real angst. So I think there's going to be other problems, and I think the border is a way of covering for these other problems right now. As long as everybody's focusing on the border, they're not taking a look at what's taking place domestically.
Oh, no, I 100% agree. I think now that he's declared this emergency, they're going to shift their guns towards a border issue now and hope the rest of it just quietly goes away.
Well, I think the other thing, they're going to try to show that Trump's unstable. They tried to do that early on. They tried to invoke the 25th Amendment, try to get him out of office. They were hoping to do that in the first 6 months, maybe a year of his presidency. That failed just outrageously. And now they're going to try to show people that he's just really not stable and that his base is unstable. So I think that's something you're going to start to see more of as we get closer to the 2020 election.
Well, I think another thing that's I think going to become a lot more prevalent is with this new information that DOJ and FBI really did discuss the 25th Amendment.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a quiet, what do they call it, a bloodless coup?
Yeah, there's basically been a coup attempted here in the United States, and again, that's not being discussed. I wrote an article on it. I think I sent it to you. If not, I will. But there's been a coup that's been underway for the last couple of years. They thought they would be successful in the first, like I said, 6 months, maybe a year,
right.
And that didn't happen. So they doubled down.
Yeah, because they put Andy McCabe in charge of it. Oopsie.
Well, there's a number of problems. We're running out of time, but the entire Department of Justice and the Department of the FBI needs to be gutted. It's been contagious, and unfortunately, it's been invaded by a sickness that I never thought we would ever see.
Yeah.
And
it's
basically
sad.
Our intelligence agencies have been compromised, and they've been turned into domestic spy operations, and that was never their intention. It's just unbelievable what has happened to the United States here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knew that these guys would be able? And they've been lurking in there for a long time. It wasn't like they just showed up when Trump started running for president.
Well, I think a lot of this
had a whole big plan coming together.
They had this big plan, and thank goodness it didn't come to fruition because they had everything in place. To make the change, and now it's all coming out, and they've got to make a lot of this go away. And I don't think
most likely, if Hillary had won, you wouldn't be on the air, and I wouldn't be able to discuss what little we've already done.
No, I agree.
That's how bad it is.
That's exactly how bad it would have been, because I think a lot of the the conservative voice would have been shut down. I mean, look what the DOJ is involved in. And, yes. I mean, they were in her pocket. So, yep. Yeah, it would have been a whole different thing. So,
yeah.
So there we are.
All right, everybody all together now.
So much for all of that now.
We started out so energetic, and now we're all tired.
Yeah, I think the next few weeks, this thing is spinning up so fast right now. I think in the next few weeks, especially like you said, when Mueller's report comes out, there's going to be a lot being said and a lot being done. We're going to have to really pay attention.
I agree.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's one of those things where I think
Aaron will call me. Aaron will call me again some night, midnight or 2 a.m, saying, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Come on to the show." And
that's
you're how just we... you're just lucky I didn't call you when I was stuck in the snowstorm.
And say, "Hey, would you come get Trevor and me?"
Yeah, that would have been 3 o'clock in the morning. That would have been a long call.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, yeah. I had that handled. My ancestors were Icelanders, so you know what? We don't go down in snowstorms lightly.
No. Nor do you sleep.
They take away my Icelander card. There were a few people on that trip that are going to lose their man card. There's some of that going to happen, but I'm not. Yeah.
This show is deteriorating really quickly now.
Mostly that beekeeper guy who slid in front of everybody. I'm still bitter at him.
Well, him and the silkworm farmer guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They started this whole thing.
Yeah. They're rudest.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Thank you, guys. You're awesome.
All right. Thank no, you're you. No, you. You're awesome.
No, thanks for coming on.
No,
we'll keep in touch.
So we're gonna go out.
Bill,
on a,
I'll call you.
We're gonna go
I'll
out on an up note with a fun note from or a fun thought for the president.
Yeah, you call me. You call me, and we'll talk, Lyle.
You got it.
Thanks.
You're listening to We the People.
Ain't seen nothing yet.